Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of We Are Challenged, the podcast where myself and my friend Matt pick apart the challenge Battle of the Exes. So last Wednesday at 10 p.m., we saw the very first episode of Battle of the Exes. And so we're going to talk about it a bit today, kind of pick it apart, see what we think about it. And I want to just ask Matt right off the bat, what would you rate this episode out of 10?
That's a good question. I'll give it a 6.5.
Ooh.
What about you?
I'm going to go maybe around the same, maybe a 7. It wasn't a drama-filled episode, really. It was just kind of an introduction, as it usually is. But it did, it caught me. I mean, there can be episodes where, or episode starters of the season, where I just kind of don't want to watch it, and they don't really grab me. But there are a few little things that made me want to watch again. What are some of the parts of it that stand out to you?
Well, my notes I wrote down while I was watching, right off the bat, some of the problem with the episode I found was a lot of it was spoiled by the previews.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in this, some of the scenes that were spoiled by the previews were still great. And one of my favorite scenes was right off the bat. They enter the house and they see the pictures of their couples,
yeah,
of the exes. And Leroy picks up his picture with him and Naomi, mm-hmm, and says, "This was the best day of my partner's life."
Yes, good for Leroy. Leroy has started off on a good note, as we all knew he would. He has a few really, really good moments in this episode, and we're just hoping he sticks around because we love watching him. And that was a really good moment. And I like that whole segment where they saw their pictures on the wall. It was both uncomfortable and funny. And, of course, we had Jasmine throwing her picture onto the ground, which had been previewed many times. And just for anyone who might not know, anyone who might be following just the TV show, by previews, Matt means the ones that are online right now on mtv.ca. So at the moment, there are currently, I think, 5 some of them are half an hour, but there's a pre-show, there's a kind of teaser for the first episode. There's an after show. So there's a lot of extra footage. And Matt and I have been talking, and we wanted to talk a little bit today about whether or not that's a good idea. So what do you think, Matt? Because you were saying earlier that it's kind of spoiling some of it for you.
I think it's a good idea to promote the show and get more people attached to the show. So I think it's a good idea for the producers, and it helps grow the brand. And
it's
for me,
a good thing. We want people to like this, right?
This is very true. And I think this is, you know, for the American listeners out there in Canada, the challenge has kind of been handled sporadically at best by MTV Canada this year they've really, I think we talked about earlier, they've really put a big push on it.
Yeah.
Whereas in past years, it's not even aired the same day or the same weeks as in the American days. Like, it'll be, you know, they'll air it like a month later, which can be frustrating because, you know, you go online, you might get spoiled accidentally. But I feel like now we're kind of getting the same coverage in Canada as they do in the United States, which is a great, mm-hmm, thing.
Yeah, for sure. I think in the past it was kind of put on the back burner. Why, I don't know, but I think that it's testament to the fact that people are actually watching it. And I tweeted, just to let you all know, I'm going to be each episode, I'll be live tweeting during the episode. So last week, or last Wednesday, during the show, I was tweeting away, and I was just noticing there are so many people talking about it. The challenge was trending on Twitter at the time, and there are many people that are kind of giving their two cents. And obviously, all the contestants are participating in the dialogue, which I like about this show. I think one of the good things about a show like this in particular is that the actual people are talking about it with you while you're watching the show. I think that's a really cool thing. So, yeah, it's becoming really big. So that definitely thumbs up for that. But I guess we should go into speaking about what happened in the show itself. So we started out with a honey challenge. So as you all know, the challenge was to remove honey from your partner's body. What did you think about this challenge, Matt?
I thought it was an okay challenge. Obviously it's, you know, they're trying to ramp up the sexuality and the potential conflict between partners that don't like each other. So I could understand them going with this. The challenge itself, I found it funny when the way CT's reaction to DM, kind of flirtingly joking that he's going to molest her. and the challenge, it's like the, during, you know, seeing the, all the guys and girls wear very skimpy clothing, and then it did reveal some interesting shapes, if you will.
Yes.
Among, I would say, Dunbar and Vinny definitely stood out as,
yeah,
you know, not necessarily in game shape.
Dunbar in particular really surprised me. When he, they just did a quick clip of his body before he ran across the beam, and I thought he was ripped, but he's definitely not. He's lost a little bit of the muscle this season. I guess maybe I'm wrong. Was he ripped before, or is he just always just a big guy?
I feel like in some seasons he's been ripped, in some seasons he's been kind of pudgy. Maybe he just goes back and forth.
I think he's still strong. It doesn't matter that he's not, like, you know, got the steroid body. But speaking of bodies, can we talk about my favorite too? That was Mark.
Mark? Right? Yes, Mark, and I believe Abram was your second favorite.
Abram was my second. So it was between Mark and Abram. And I think that people agreed with me out there about that. There were a lot of people tweeting about Mark's body. Beautiful. and Abram, not as ripped as Mark, but I think I'm a bit biased when it comes to Abram. I like him a lot. What about you, Matt? How about the women? How did you feel about the women being, you basically saw that their body,
yeah,
got the best body.
Honestly, I felt like it was harder to tell in this challenge, the women's bodies, than in some of them.
Because they're covered in,
honey. And,
is that every guy's dream, or is it every girl's dream to see men covered in honey?
I've never had a dream about women covered in honey. I'm not a food and sex person like George Costanza, but I'm not going to judge those who are.
So, girls, who's got the best body from this challenge, even though you couldn't really see?
I would say Camilla, probably. She looked like she was in great shape. Okay. And, you know, I think Johnny seemed to enjoy rubbing the honey off of her for good reason.
I have to just put out there that I saw a picture of Emily. When I was tweeting, because I went on her Twitter for a second, she is ripped, and you can't really see it yet, but I, like, her body is insane in this one picture. I don't know if it was before, but I think it's a recent picture. She's a strong girl, but what we saw, I think, was one thing that came out of the first challenge, and we won't talk about this too much longer, but was that Dustin and Heather kind of came out as dark horse, you know, surprisingly good competitors. And I think that it was Ty. There's a little clip of an interview with him where he said that they were a team to actually fear in this competition. And that, to me, was really, really surprising, because I never thought that they would even be, I thought that they would just, you know, pass by. Everybody would, they might do okay. But they looked like they were really, really trying hard, especially Heather. She surprised me. What do you think?
I agree. I think Heather was the standout, surprise in this episode. I thought not only did she do well in the challenge, I felt like she was a lot smarter than I remember her from in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I think she knows the game a lot more than regular newbies do. I think Dustin's smart enough to kind of let Heather take the lead in their strategic, like the way they were strategizing and the way they were talking with the other newbies. It seemed like Heather is the brains of the operation. Mm-hmm. And I think they, you know, if they play it right, they could go a lot farther than any of us expected they would.
Yeah. And another thing I want to point out that I saw about Dustin was when I was watching some of the extra clips, it was interesting to see that it was the pre-show, and it was a little chat between Kenny, Mike, Laurel, Jen, and Tyler, and they were all just kind of rating each couple and saying what they thought, how they thought that they would do in the competition. And they all said that they all voted very low for Dustin and Heather, but the reason that they all said it was because they said Dustin wouldn't be able to take all of the fire that he would get from the contestants for his past, his past with porn, as we've all seen. I don't know if you've seen it. I actually have. But, yeah. Anyways, so they were just saying that that would bring him down. But it was funny to see that in the first episode, it didn't seem to matter at all. And so I don't think that's going to get to him. And I think if he can get past that and he can get past those guys in the house that are going to dig at him, they'll do well, I think.
I agree. I feel like Dustin has gotten past that. It seemed like Johnny was trying to make fun of him right off the bat, and Dustin kind of joined in and, you know, was perfectly fine with being teased about it. And in my experience, if somebody teases you, if you get upset and angry, it's just going to make them want to tease you more. And Dustin's reaction kind of diffused any further teasing because he just kind of played along. And if he can keep doing that, then eventually they'll find somebody else to tease.
I want to just point out quickly, this is something that I thought of recently. I think that there's a clip that you're just talking about where Dustin, they've all got most likely to things on the wall or something when they first get into the house. And the whole scenario is that it says most likely to do porn. And then Dustin puts his own name there and everyone laughs and they seem to get over it. But that clip is actually not in the episode. That clip was from the little sneak preview.
Well, that's true. It is from the sneak preview. It just kind of blends into one another.
Yeah. So we think that we've seen it, but so for the people out there that haven't, it sucks that they don't see that part. But it's important because it just shows that they've kind of gotten past that. But anyways, just to tell the viewers out there that might not have seen that clip, that that they kind of laugh it off, and then there's a little clip with Johnny that he says like, no good for him. He makes fun of himself. So what can I really do? You know. Anyways, what else? What's the next thing? The in between of the two challenges is a little bit of intrigue with CT and Diem.
That's right? True, but let's just recap. Sure. Nate's horrible performance.
Right. Nate. Very important point.
It's true. Nate comes in all cocky and confident, and he puts on, I think, as TJ called it, the worst performance he's ever seen, and falls off the beam, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 times, and they lose horribly, and thus are sent into the dome.
Yes.
And because of the horrible performance, I don't think any team is therefore scared to face them in the dome.
Right, and I think that no one was surprised that they didn't do very well, but it was surprising how badly Nate did in the first challenge. Go ahead.
If there was to be a downfall to this team, I suspected it would have been Priscilla because she seems like a nice girl, but she doesn't seem like she, you know, is competitive and, you know, would try hard. But she was the one who was the competitive one who was pushing the team, and Nate was the one who brought it down.
And I mean, I thought on the last episode when we talked about them, I had not nice things to say about Nate or the team in general. They just kind of piss me off. I don't know, something about them really irks me, especially Nate. He just seems a little bit too cocky right off the bat. But what I noticed out there in the Twitter sphere is that everyone seems to like him a lot. And so it surprised me. I had to take a moment and step back and wonder if he actually is a likable guy. But anyways, they were all saying that he was really fun to party with. And I think that might have been his downfall, is that he was there to party. And that was obvious in the episode. And he looked like he was, you know, not feeling too well that morning or that day. And, that would definitely affect you on a balance beam if you're hungover. But he really, really, he took some hard falls. He kept getting back up, but it just got more and more embarrassing. So, I don't know. Nate, Priscilla, I don't know. We never really got to see them, obviously, because eventually they did. They were the team that lost, and we'll touch on that in 1 second.
Of course, the next step is who has to face them, and that's where the more conflict gets brewed. We see Wes bullying Camilla into trying to convince Camilla to convince Johnny to not throw them in. And CT, this is where I really like, I love CT, and he plays the middle game and, you know, relays, if you will, or snitches on Wes's bullying and tells Johnny, who has to intervene, and they have a kind of a sit-down, Wes, Mandy, Johnny, and Camilla, which ends with Wes putting his foot in his mouth and yelling and screaming. And then the one thing I have to say, Wes did finally seem to acknowledge that he was an idiot. And there was there was about a half a second where he said something to the effect of, my mouth has gotten me in trouble again.
True.
And I was like, wow, is he finally realizing that maybe, you know, the way he acts is not a successful way to play this challenge?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I like that little exchange as well. I like that CT kind of came back and told Johnny what was going on, because I didn't like that they didn't get along before. They definitely had some tension on the last challenge. Johnny especially, he just disliked CT completely. But I don't know. I like kind of seeing them broing it up. But I don't know. Wes, come on. I mean, you can tell actually that Mandy is just rolling her eyes. Don't you think?
I agree.
She's just like, again, this is going to happen. I think she's even kind of sick of Wes.
I think Mandy knows that Wes's gameplay, like social gameplay, is not a successful way to go about it. But she also knows that there's no way to really talk Wes into changing. So she kind of just has to support him because she can't backstab him because they're on the same team.
Yeah. So she kind of just goes along with it. I think she's just there to do the challenges. She doesn't really seem to have much input. She's riding on his coattails. She's just there. But, I mean, I don't know. This obviously brings us to the end because they are thrown in together. But before we get to that, should we touch on the CTDM thingy? Because there was a long clip of them having this kind of heated discussion in the hall.
This
is the episode where they decided, okay, I'm sure every episode's going to be, you know, one or two of the couples and their background, but this was kind of the CTDM episode.
It was, and I kind of think it's going to be the CTDM season.
Show, yeah. I agree.
Which isn't a bad thing. I like their storyline. And, of course, like most couples, when they break up, each of them have different ideas of who's at fault or why they broke up. CT was talking about how DM bailed on showing up for his brother's funeral. DM seems to be upset because after they had broken up, he slept with Siobhan. I forget what season that was. Was that the duel?
It was one of the challenges.
Yes, one of the challenges. He sleeps with Siobhan and DM gets upset. But based off of that information, I'm on Team CT. He was broken up with DM. He can sleep with whoever he wants. They were still together, and she, you know, he helps her through her cancer. She bails on him at an important moment in his life. And I can understand why CT is a tough guy to live with or a tough guy to date, but I don't understand why. I don't feel like DM has as much reason to be angry at CT as CT does towards DM.
Well, okay. Of course, you know, and I know we don't know the full story, but we're shown a lot of what went on, and from what we know, from what I've seen, I'm on Team DM, so we're going to disagree on this. Even though I like CT, I love watching him, I feel like I can see, I want to say to what you said, I don't think that DM, her whole rant at CT is all about the Siobhan thing. Like, I think that's one of many things that kind of pissed her off, but what I think about that particular incident is that, of course, DM did break up with him. And she broke up with him because she had a career to pursue and she thought that she needed to kind of put everything she had into it. So in that way, it was a selfish move. And, of course, CT was really pissed and heartbroken and whatnot. But they get thrown back into this challenge together. Once again, I forget what particular one it was. And he did it on purpose. Like, Siobhan, come on. No one really, like, I don't think he really cared to sleep with her. It wasn't like a, anything that he wasn't like pining over Siobhan. And I think he did it to just make her uncomfortable. And I think that that's what their relationship became, a little bit kind of like one-upping each other. Well, especially for CT. I don't know. I think DM is kind of the innocent victim in a lot of CT's craziness. And I'm glad that we get to see clips of the past of CT, because I think it's really easy to forget that he's kind of abusive, you know? Like, he never did anything to her. I mean, I don't know for sure, but he was verbally abusive in a way, and he talks over her when they try to have, you know, conversations about their relationship, and he's kind of a child about it, and reminds me of when my brother and I used to fight when we were kids. he just won't let you speak. And I hate that kind of, you know, way of fighting. But anyways, maybe too much about them, but I agree with you. I think that this is definitely a plot line that's going to be touched upon the whole season. And I actually haven't mentioned this to you before, but I saw on the after show, Leroy and they were having a conversation. It was four people, Cara, Maria, and they said that it gets worse and worse and worse throughout the season, their relationship.
Oh.
Which is kind of a spoiler.
But
that it gets out of control. Like, really, really, really tumultuous. So that's something to not look forward to, but to...
it's kind of actually sad.
No, I know. I know. It is sad to hear, because I thought that maybe... I thought they might get back together. But
yeah,
we'll see. I don't know if they're saying that that's going to... They never said that that was the end of them or anything. They just said that it gets very heated. But anyways, moving on to the final challenge.
X knocks the spot, I think it was called. I'm not sure.
Yes.
And it's an event where each person's standing on a pillar, and there's two blades of padded... I don't know what you'd call them, but they're rotating around in directions. One's high, one's low, so you have to... jump
leap
and
over
duck.
And then duck, right?
To me, it felt very Big Brother-y, and not in a good way. I don't know. It seemed like it was something that you would see in Big Brother, I didn't think it was a great event. Obviously,
what do you mean by that?
Well, by that I mean it seemed very. It's physically demanding in a stamina sense, but I'm more used to physical conflict,
right?
In these
combat
challenges
between two people,
yeah,
right?
Like they, you know, whether they're, you know, using, like, I remember the one challenge where it seemed like a stupid challenge where they each are at one end of the pole and they're pushing each other, and you know, something that like requires like a mano a mano or woman a woman battle. This one, it's just kind of, you know, Priscilla falls off because she slips, Nate falls off because he slips,
yeah,
and it's over. Yes, they were on for, you know, about half an hour, but to me it just seemed like a boring kind of, you know, cookie cutter challenge. What do you think about it?
I liked this one. I mean, the honey challenge to me was a bit of a cop out. I think it was just kind of to create a little bit of tension, and it was just kind of silly. I don't love those kind of challenges. I think, you know, maybe 3 to 5 of them in the whole season is good. But I prefer the really physical ones. And this one, to me, seemed really hard. So I agree with you. It was a bit Big Brother-y. We've seen there are a bit few resemblances in these contests to some stuff we've seen on Big Brother. But I just put myself in that situation. I think that that would kill me. And like Nate was saying, that his back, because you have to be leaning right over the whole time and leaping over these things. But I think you mentioned to me once that you thought that it might have been moving quite slowly.
It did look like it was going slowly, and it seemed like, you know, it was easy to just kind of step over these blades. And maybe that's so that the challenge would go longer. But it would have been interesting to see if they could have varied the speeds to kind of make it, like, a little more challenging. Maybe they did, and they just didn't show that. And maybe the way maybe just with the filming and the editing didn't quite bring up the actual excitement of the challenge. Mm-hmm. But it could also just be that Nate and Priscilla did so badly that they looked at and said, well, we have nothing here, so let's just, you know, take as little time to air this as possible. And
right. Well, to kind of round this off, because I think we're running out of time, I want to ask what you think about the matchup itself. Because what happened, as everyone probably recalls, is that Johnny and Camilla decided to put Wes and Mandy against Priscilla and Nate, who are kind of a very strong veteran team against a very, very weak rookie team. So do you think that that was kind of, I don't know, you know, like a stupid move on Johnny's part? Like, what do you think his intentions were in doing that?
I think I like Johnny's move. I think it was a ballsy move. He could have just easily thrown in a Dustin Heather or a Ty Jasmine and just kind of played it safe. Mm-hmm. It didn't work, obviously, this time, but you never know what the challenge is going to be. If you have a rival like Wes, who was pretty much asking to be thrown in, the way he was acting like an idiot, I feel like you have to keep throwing a guy like Wes in there. Eventually, he's going to screw up, and he's going to lose. If yeah. you try to avoid these confrontations, then eventually you're going to have to try to take out Wes. And I feel like I think you know, if Johnny and, you know, Camilla keep winning, or if Mark and Robin, who I feel like maybe they're kind of slightly teamed up, if they keep throwing Wes and Mandy in, even if Wes and Mandy win five times in a row, eventually they'll lose. And there's no, like, some seasons they have, if you win the challenge, like you win the duel or win the, you know, the battle, you get some money. There's nothing like that. So there's really no negative in throwing Wes and Mandy in. I know Wes is saying, oh, it gave us more confidence. Well, Wes, your confidence is pretty high anyway, so.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. The matchup, I don't know. I think the only thing that really stuck out to me as interesting in this pair-up is that had Wes and Mandy lost this this episode, it would have been very crazy. It would have really changed up the season because we really have yet to see, I think, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, but in challenge history, like a really strong veteran team lose in the first episode. You know, or somebody like Wes, who's kind of he's one of the famous people that come out of the show, and we all want to talk about him. So I just picture that if he had lost, because he could have, it wasn't a really, really physical challenge. It was kind of required you not to trip on your ankles like both Nate and Priscilla did. They just kind of toppled over. If they had lost, I just want to picture the producers' faces, just like, shoot, we lost, you know, one of our main characters on this show. So I think that that increased the tension for me of wondering if they could have lost. Do you think there was any chance?
Not in this particular challenge. I think, you know, I can't think of many challenges where Wes and Priscilla would beat. Maybe a spelling bee. I keep bringing it back because I love the spelling bees. Nate, you know, has an engineering degree, but the thing is, you're right, it did have some element of fluke in there where somebody could have slipped. But yeah, like there could have been another challenge, maybe a short, quick burst challenge where, you know, you make one slip, if you're climbing up a cargo net, and if Mandy makes Mandy falls on the cargo net, now it's over because the challenge is only 2 minutes long and she can't recover. Mm-hmm. Something like that could easily happen in you know, a challenge. So that's what I said. Like, I feel like they should keep throwing. If you want somebody out, just keep throwing them in, and eventually they're going to come up against a challenge where either they're not good at that challenge or they just slip up and bad luck happens.
Okay. Well, I think that we are basically running out of time, but I wanted to ask you, just as a future projection, which we should always do in these shows, is what you think, who do you think is going to be off next? Who are you betting on?
Before this episode, I would have thought Dustin and Heather would have been in danger, but I feel like they might be okay. The two teams that I'm looking at to go home next week are Vinny and Sarah. And sad to say, Leroy and Naomi, I could see being in danger.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to call out I totally disagree about Sarah and Vinny. I think they're going to be in there for a while. I'm not happy about it, but I have a feeling that they're going to be, they're sticking it out. Sarah has a lot of, she has alliances within these challenges. I don't know why, but she seems to be everyone's friend. But anyways, I think I also, very unfortunately, could see Leroy and Naomi. this makes me sad, but I think it's a possibility. But I think I'm also going to throw out a real long shot, because I do think it's possible that Wes and Andy might go home next week. I know that they're going to, we all know they're going to be thrown in again, maybe not next week, but the chances of them being thrown in at all are really, really high, and they could lose. I mean, they're not unstoppable. Wes is definitely not. I don't think that he's the challenge god that he thinks he is. He's, you know, he's strong. He can win things, but he can also lose. He's not an indestructible competitor. And they could do another challenge like this where it doesn't really require you to battle it out or, you know, run long distances or something. Of course, you're not going to. It's in the dome, but there's no, you know, it could just be something that Wes might slip up on. And so I'm going to call that out because everyone wants them gone. Maybe not Mandy for the sake of everyone getting laid, but everyone wants Wes gone.
It's true. As I said, if they use the strategy that I'm suggesting, keep throwing Wes and Mandy in, you know, you keep throwing them in, then there's a 50% chance that they go home without knowing obviously what the challenge is. So yeah, it would definitely change the dynamic of the season. I would like to see that just because there have been too many seasons where the first five exits, everybody knows what they're going to be because they're the alliances and the way the, you know, they just keep throwing in, you know, the same people because, you know, they don't want to throw their friends in. But the way, and also the way this season is set up where the winning team gets to pick who goes in against the losing team.
Mm-hmm.
That means that anyone could hypothetically go into the dome at any point. So in past seasons, a team like Johnny and Camilla and Mark and Robin would be safe every week because one of their friends would probably win and they would never get thrown in because there'd be some sort of majority vote and they would never have the votes against them.
Just to clarify for people that are just watching this for the first time, because in the past it was a team versus a larger team, like the whole thing was split in two, right?
Well, they've kind of gone back and forth as to how.
So in this time around, I guess alliances aren't as important. They will be, I mean, in the end when it's less people, but this is more just what the winning pair wants to do, you know?
Yeah.
There will be, of course, some alliance, you know, decisions, but anyways, I think that we can definitely look forward to this season. I thought there is a chance that I might not. I didn't love the couples that were involved in this. I miss, you know, the Kenny and the Evan. I really like their. Sorry, guys, we just cut out for a second, but I'm just going to wrap this up and finish what I was talking about there. Basically, I was saying that I am looking forward to the season. At the beginning, I was kind of iffy about it. I didn't know if I loved the contestants that were involved. But watching the first episode, I'm kind of stoked about it. You?
I am, too. I think it's a very unpredictable season, mm-hmm. Which makes it interesting. I think, you know, there's a lot of different dynamics, a lot of different variables. It's not one of these seasons where you know who's going to be in the final five. We have our predictions, and, you know, we said those in the first episode of our podcast. But realistically, there could be a few shockers that make it to the final three. And that, to me, that's more interesting than seeing, you know, the Evan, Johnny, and Kenny's just dominate and run through the season.
Yeah.
As much as I love watching those guys, it can be a little tedious when you just say, you know, when you know after the second episode who's going to be in the final four.
Yes, totally. And in the past, that's exactly how it's been. It's been fun to watch, but you always know who's going to end up in the end. But here you can kind of root for the underdog. You don't really know what's going to happen. So as long as they don't spoil it too much on these clips on MTV.ca, although I do understand why they're doing it, I like them, I like watching them, they got to be careful about not giving too much away, because I feel like I know certain things that are coming that would have been nice to be surprised by. So, but anyways, I think that we'll wrap it up. Thanks again for listening. And again, I am going to be live tweeting this coming Wednesday for the next episode. And we are going to be on and off Twitter. And we would love more followers right now. There are people that are starting to kind of catch on to it. So it's We Are Challenged is our Twitter name. And Matt, what's our email address?
The email address is wearechallenged@gmail.com.
Yeah, so send us any questions, any complaints or arguments that you might have. We'd love to be challenged on this podcast, We Are Challenged.
And, yeah, if we get some good questions, we'll definitely try to respond to them over the next couple of episodes.
For sure.
And our plan is to do one episode, you know, do a recap episode each week. And try to get up on Sunday or Monday before the Wednesday episode, which, of course, airs on MTV or MTV Canada at 10 p.m.
And then I think you can also – it usually comes on MTV.ca after midnight, I believe, that night. But, yeah, so thank you again for listening, and we will see you next week.
See you next week.